Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
Before hopping into this incredible interview with Christina, I really, one more time, just want to bring up Vivo Barefoot and everything they continue to do to move the needle on what it means to live barefoot and learn barefoot. They have this new platform, Vivo Health, where if you go down to the link in the bio, you can do a barefoot assessment to learn more about what type of foot you have. You can even get their Barefoot Fundamentals course for free if you purchase their Primus Lights or Tracker FG. And of course, if you decide to purchase those, please use code TOB15 for 15% off. And all of the Vivo shoes are incredible. I love how they have hikers of every type. They have super, super aggressive ones like the Tracker Forest or just the Primus Trail. That's one of my favorite ones that looks like your Primus Light shoe, but has a more aggressive bottom for hiking. I love how Vivo has made shoes that span every activity, whether outdoor or indoor, or if you need to dress up, and it still is going to benefit your feet by giving it the space and giving it the ability to feel the ground underneath you. So go check out Vivo Health, get yourself a pair of Vivo barefoot shoes, and now let's head into the interview with Christina.
I am so excited to finally have my good friend Christina Cario Bucaram on the podcast, known better as Fully Raw Christina. And if you're not following her on Instagram or YouTube, you should be, because she has an incredible amount of recipes, knowledge, and education just on this way of eating fully raw, which we're going to go really deep into her story. But she's a writer, a speaker, a raw vegan activist who really educates and guides people who are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired and are ready to take more control over their health and experience the compassionate lifestyle that can come from achieving living fully raw. And she likes to talk about it not as a diet, but really as a lifestyle. And she thinks of this way of eating as like an awakening and a way of rediscovering connection to ourselves and others and the earth. And she really believes that it begins with food and then becomes a mind, body, and spirit transformation. And so she's really going to dive into her journey, understanding, you know, where this really came from her, from disease and sickness into thriving and health. And I'm so excited for you to hear her story, hear her journey, and just continue to learn from her. She's a very powerful soul and someone who's great at educating on the science of eating this way as well. Christina, my love, I am so grateful to have you on the podcast. I mean, you've been a pivotal friend emotionally, like so incredibly supportive, heart-centered human. And it shows that in your work that you do and what you're trying to promote as well. And I'm so appreciative that you took the time and you're here with us today.
Jen, I love you so much. I love you more than life itself. And I feel so honored and blessed that you want to have me here. It's just so special to be able to be there to support your friends in such a way and to be able to connect in the space and to provide knowledge and wisdom that can help others. And you do that on a daily basis with so much grace. So thank you for having me.
No, this could just be like a love session between Christina and I. But I guess we should actually talk about some stuff that can help other people. Christina, your story from what you've endured through illness and where you've come and what you're doing now, like the whole journey of it. I told you this before we started, but it honestly inspires me, and it continues to prove your level of who you are as a person through authenticity, transparency, and commitment. And I would love for you to start at the beginning, if you feel okay with that, in terms of what happened with illness and disease and what helped you.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you for allowing me to share my story. So for those who don't know me, my name is Christina. Many people call me Fully Raw Christina because I have been a raw vegan for 16 plus years now. Actually, in July 15th, it'll be 17 years that I've not only just been a vegan, but been a raw vegan. So more than half my life at this point. which is wild to think because I'm 35 and I still feel like I'm in my young 20s to a certain degree, but I'm an old soul, so it's complicated. long story short, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes hyperglycemia around the time I was 16 years old. I started noticing a decline in my health around the time I was 14. And I was raised on Lebanese and Ecuadorian food, which was very high fat, oil heavy, meat heavy foods all the time, sometimes deep fried. I didn't grow up on fresh fruits or vegetables ever, more so just very cultural food because my father's from Ecuador and my mom is from Lebanon. And when I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes hyperglycemia meaning I had very high blood sugar. Some diabetics can be hypoglycemia, meaning they have low blood sugar, but I had frequent fainting spells, high and low blood sugar spells, chronic everything, chronic migraines, chronic constipation, just the inability to function properly as a normal teenage kid, basically. Mm. And it's not common to be hyperglycemic. It's more common to be hypo. And I went through my journey very, very young. And for anybody who's ever dealt with chronic illness, it can be difficult to explain to people who don't really understand because getting up every day in the morning is a task and you don't look forward to every day and life becomes miserable and life becomes hard and you start wondering how long you have to go through this. And you're not thriving in life. You're barely getting by. And I just remember that I had gotten out of the hospital one day. My dad had, taken me in because I was, blackout fainting and vomiting and had migraines and just, I was not doing well. And I think from the time I was 16 to 18 years old, I had lost a lot of weight. So I'm like 5'6", 5'7". And I was 87 pounds at the time, I wasn't eating, but because I was burning through everything I was eating. And at that point in time, doctors were telling me to only eat things that came out of a package that were approved for diabetics, And so I stopped eating everything that I was used to. And I was just eating packaged goods like granolas all the time, which made everything worse, made everything much worse. And, they directed me not to eat fruit and of course, I wasn't already eating fruits or vegetables. So I ended up going into the hospital one night, which was not abnormal for the time. And I remember on the way home, my dad took me to a natural grocery store. And on the way home, I was digging through a bin of sugar-free granola, diabetic approved. Mm-hmm. And I still had the IV patch in my arm. And I had a stranger come and tap me on the shoulder and ask if I was a raw vegan. And I just kind of looked up at him and I was like, no, what is that? I didn't know what a vegan was. I didn't know what a raw vegan was. I didn't really, it's funny because I think growing up, if you're not exposed to, if you're only exposed to the foods that are within your culture or fast food joints or things like that, which I never really ate, it's just, I wasn't exposed to different diets or ways of living at that point in my life yet. So he started telling me about how he'd been juicing for 18 years and, eating raw fruits and vegetables and it can help heal people. And, he gave me his card just randomly. It was just like he was an angel coming to just offer, plant some seeds in my life, so to speak. And I ended up going back home that day, sitting around the table. And I remember that night at dinner telling my parents, I was like, I think I met a rabbit man today. He says he doesn't eat foods. He only eats vegetables all day. And of course, everybody ignored me. But later on that night, I ended up having another health episode and my dad rushed me to the ER. I ended up spending 3 days in the hospital again. And when I got out, or at least when I remember at that time, I just remember having thought, I'm 18 years old and this is rock bottom. Right. I think I was about to not graduate high school, even though I was at the top of my class. Like I think I had the highest GPA in my class at the time. And they were saying that I'd missed so many days. I had so many sick days. I wasn't going to graduate. I'm laying in a hospital bed, extremely emaciated, can't move, can't function, feeling like if this is the rest of my life, I don't want to do it. And so I just remember having called up this angel that approached me in the grocery store. I said, look, I've never tried anything alternative before in my life, but I would like to give this a try. Whatever you told me, I just like, this is it. This is my last straw. And lo and behold, he ended up meeting with me and sharing everything he knew about nutrition just in 3-4 hours. And he challenged me. He said, I think you can turn this around. He's like, I think this is a lifestyle issue for you. I think you're eating too much fat. I think you could eat fruits and vegetables only and really see a change in what you're doing. And he said, what's your favorite fruit? And we were sitting there in one of the natural grocery stores. And I said, my favorite fruit? I don't have one. I didn't really, other than a banana and maybe some watermelon in the summer with my grandpa, my Jiddo, I hadn't really been exposed to too many things. So it was July 15th that day. And I just remember out of the corner of my eye, seeing like a big mound of peaches at the store. And I said, okay, I choose peaches. And he just looked at me and he said, you're going to eat nothing but peaches for 2 weeks straight. He said, wow. You're going to monomeal and we're going to give your body a solid food vacation to the most simple degree that we can for now. And he was like, you're going to buy this many peaches so that you can eat this many peaches a day and get this many calories to sustain yourself. Just give it a try, 2 weeks. And I just remember looking at him thinking, I can't eat fruit. I'm a diabetic, hyperglycemic, in case I didn't make that very clear. Yeah. And he just said, no, he's like, I think the problem is the amount of oils and fat you've been intaking. He's like, but we're going to remove all that. And he's like, I just want you to try this. So I was 87 pounds at the time. And I walked out of there with 90 pounds of peaches. And I'll never forget the girl at the checking counter was like, are you starting a restaurant? You know, like she just, like the way she looked at me and spoke to me, I wasn't prepared for it. And I just looked at her. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm doing it. But I actually ended up doing this. I went raw in one night and I never looked back. And after 3 days of eating peaches, I was astonished. My blood sugar levels had stabilized. I hadn't felt faint. I just, for the first time ever, I'd started feeling like a glimmer of hope, right? It wasn't like everything was corrected in 3 days by any means, but after 2 weeks of eating peaches, I'd put on some weight, which was needed for me at the time. I started feeling better and I just started taking it a day at a time. So after 2 weeks of peaches, I started incorporating more fruits, more vegetables, you know, teaching myself how to make salads, which for an 18-year-old, for someone who'd never done it, it was very basic skills for me. I had a knife, a cutting board, and my grandmother's old Osterizer blender, like the one, you know, the ones with the orange buttons.
Yes.
Like from the 60s. My goodness, that thing was old, but I made it work. You know, and before I knew it, I had been raw for 30 days and I started feeling just good. And I said, okay, I don't know how long I'm going to do this. This is crazy. Everybody thinks I'm crazy, but at least I'm feeling better. And, you know, 30 days turned into taking it a step at a time. When I looked up, it was 6 months later. 6 months later, I was doing amazing. And like my health had started to take a major turnaround. And then I started getting more into studying under Dr. Graham and just really starting to reach out to people more in this space, which it's hard for me to tell people how difficult that was at the time because Facebook wasn't even around at that time. Right. So I had just graduated high school and I was in the transition of being about to go into college and Facebook wasn't even a thing. So imagine like trying to find information about veganism or raw veganism back in the day when there was just like really old, terrible websites, you know? And, anyways, I ended up finding, you know, Dr. Graham and deciding to intern with him for a bit and study under him and staff for him. And that was an amazing experience. And then I ended up going to Vanderbilt University for the first year and a half of my college career, I guess you could say. And I lived in an 8x8 foot dorm room with no kitchen, no nothing, just four walls. I got myself a little mini fridge and a knife, a cutting board, and a new blender. But I had already been raw, I think, for almost 6 to 8 months at that time. And I was still like very unsure how I was going to make it through college doing this. But I remember having asked God for a sign of some kind. And it was kind of funny because at my high school, I don't remember what it was, before graduation, they had some kind of a rally, like a ticketed rally or something. And, you know, you throw your name in one of those hats and somebody pulls out a name and you win a prize. Well, somebody pulled out my name and I won a microwave. And I definitely did not need a microwave. And I just remember I returned the microwave and I got my first blender with that exchange. And I remember saying to myself, I'm going to try to make it through college, eating as healthy as I can, no alcohol, fresh fruits and vegetables. And at that time, I was a art student. I wanted to be a potter. From the time I was like 16 up until then, my whole life goal was that I just wanted to be an artist. I wanted to make ceramics and sculpture and whatnot. So I was very committed to that. I had a grant and full ride to Vanderbilt for Bachelor's of Arts. And I ended up transferring halfway through my journey after I studied abroad in Costa Rica for a bit. I ended up transferring to Rice University. And then adding on kinesiology and health science to my degree, because at that point I became so passionate about what I was doing. It took about a year and a half for me to completely reverse my diabetes with just food, and not doing anything else, just by changing my lifestyle habits and focusing on the bigger picture, right? Even though I'd made a huge change in everything that I was eating, also making sure that I was getting in good movement, good mobility, Jen, which is something I loved because I wasn't able to be physically active before. So I found so much joy in just being able to move my body. You don't realize how much of a blessing it is until you're not able to do it. Mm-hmm. And then for the first time ever, I started sleeping. I battled insomnia my whole life. Getting more sunshine, starting practicing the little things that make such a big difference in your day. Even getting, emotional support from people to help talk through some traumas that might have caused physical distress for you in certain aspects. So it took a year and a half for me to reverse my diabetes. And when I was at Rice University, I, very much, even though I still have a degree in ceramics and, bachelor's of arts, I ended up getting 3 degrees, and I became very much obsessed with kinesiology, more specifically focusing in health science. And somehow I ended up being on the environmental committee at Rice. It's so funny because I don't really quite remember the details of how that happened, but me and 12 other students ended up starting the first farmers market on campus every Tuesday. Wow. And it was funny because it just arose from this idea. Wouldn't it be great if us college students could just bring the farmers here and they could set up and we could shop for produce in between classes? And we ended up starting this market, and I think wanting it to be only organic. 4 farmers showed up at the very beginning. And even though it was tiny, we were so excited about it. And I ended up meeting the Gundermans, who ended up becoming like a second family to me. Mama Joan had 10 acres, about an hour north of the university. They were certified organic. And she had 2 sons who were my age. And we kind of became like family. So I would drive out there on the weekends and, pick peaches and figs and greens with them, and whatever I could bring back with me, I would. But I think I quickly realized after a year or two of this lifestyle that you eat a lot of produce and you go through a lot. And I was at the time working 3 different jobs just to be able to like feed myself and meet my needs. And even though my tuition was covered because of, my high GPA and my ceramics and whatnot, I still needed to live. And I was living with my parents at the time, but I was going to school throughout the day. I was like helping with the farmer's market. And my third job was I was a calculus, physics, somehow ended up getting more into like SAT tutoring later on. So I had 3 huge things going on at that time in my life, and I was always nonstop. And then my family had gotten into eating this way a little bit more with me, or at least they'd become a bit more accepting. Not my mom, but the rest of my family. And I just remember thinking, gosh, wouldn't it be great if I could get my hands on some wholesale organic fresh produce and get all the benefits of being able to like still supplement whenever needed from the local farmers and mix match boxes and things like that. I was like, my life would be made. I could feed my family and me, and I wouldn't have to pay whole food prices. And at the time, I think there weren't that many Whole Foods around in Houston. So I ended up getting a hold of a distributor who agreed to deliver 40 cases of produce to my house every Thursday night, if I could commit to 40 cases of produce. Now, me being a very naive college girl, I was like, absolutely, of course. And he's like, are you sure? Because I deliver to all the biggest grocery stores out there. And, you know, sometimes trying to intimidate me or whatever. And I was like, I can do it. No problem. He's like, all right, I'll send you the list. And I looked at the list and it was funny because it was like one case of peaches was 60 peaches. One case of bananas was 40 pounds of bananas. And I had just committed myself to 40 cases of produce every Thursday. And I'm thinking to myself, me and my family can probably make it through about 8 of them if we really try. So what I ended up doing is I ended up calling 6 or 7 of my neighbors. And I was like, hey, do you want to share 40 cases of produce with me on a Thursday night? I promise it'll be fun. Come on over. Surprisingly, they all agreed. And I will never forget the night that I had that first big truck drop off produce at my parents' house on my mother's nice white marble floors that I totally destroyed and that she wanted to kill me for. This huge 18-wheeler pulls up and starts unloading just like cases of produce on us. And it was the most magical night and glorious night of my life. I never felt like I had been introduced to having so much purpose than I did right then and there. And we split up so much produce. We all walked away with so much abundance. And I think we, like each of us had paid $200 or something for so much food. And it was all organic. And, you know, I also wanted to support my local farmers that I knew at the time too. So I was like, you guys bring some cases too, and we'll split that up and we'll get the best of both worlds. So it's funny because that first day we had, you know, 7 or 8 people split in my garage or, you know, in my house with my parents. And the week after that, I had so many of my neighbors ask me what the heck that big truck was. What were we doing? What was this food? And I kid you not, the next week I had 40 people splitting up produce in my parents' garage or in my parents' living room, so to speak. You know, wanting to just get in on this great thing where it's like you could get a massive amount of organic, fresh, local, best quality produce that had never seen a shelf and hadn't been sitting in a, you know, grocery store freezer for 6 months, just right there and in abundance and 40% off what you would normally pay in a grocery store in any other setting. And just so much better quality. I have to just stress that it was so much better quality than anything else you'd ever tasted. And so that became my thing. I ended up in addition to all the other things I had going on, and I was a junior in college. So in between the tutoring and still wrapping my classes up and still running the other market, I started this little cooperative in my garage as a side hustle that made absolutely no money, but fed me. And it just became my passion. And I remember it was me and some other ladies in my neighborhood that really, they helped me so much. They were like, well, the boxes are full of raw produce and they're organic. We should call this Rawfully Organic. Uh-huh. So we ended up calling it Rawfully Organic, our co-op. And it was completely volunteer run. I think that's what made it so special, is that on any given day, I just reached out to my list of people and been like, I'm running late from physics. I can't make it. Can you guys help sort? I'll be there in an hour. And I would get back and it was like I had 5, 6 of my, you know, female neighbors like there jamming music, sorting produce. And that was part of the fun of it, was just having people come in and be a part of that experience, you know, and they got to touch the food and be connected with the food in a different way. They got to meet the farmers. They got to see something fresher and more different. They got to try new varieties of fruits and vegetables. It was very cool. And a couple months after that, I think we had like 100 families picking up out of my parents' place. And eventually the HOA kicked us out of the house. And we're like, you guys can't do this anymore. You're disturbing the neighborhood. I was like, disturbing the neighborhood? I'm feeding the neighborhood.
Yeah, what exactly. Are you talking about?
Either way, it was this older man who I think was very intimidated by what I was doing. And he was probably the only person in our neighborhood who wasn't supporting what I was doing. But either way, we found a parking lot nearby in the neighborhood that they allowed us to use. And I started setting up there. And we quickly went from, you know, doing 100 families a week to 300 families a week every Thursday. And believe it or not, but some of my professors had joined the co-op at that point, and they were picking up boxes, and they would let me out of class early so that I could go and sort the boxes, because it was easy to sort 7 or 8 boxes, but 300 boxes took hours. And then to, like, you know, figure out a way to, like, set up checkout counters and, you know, collect cash from people and take orders. And it became a full-time job in addition to everything else I was doing. And then I will never forget this one night where there was a very big grocery chain just around the corner that was very upset that we were taking away business from them, actually. And so they filed a complaint against us. And within one night, they were like, sorry, you can't have your co-op here. We're shutting you down. And I just remember Garrett Gunderman, one of the farmers, brought me a crate of freshly picked sweet corn, so soft, tasted like butter. And I was just like sitting in the middle of the empty parking lot after we'd already cleaned up the tents and everything. I spent a lot of my time in empty parking lots or parking lots of produce. He brought me this crate of corn. He's like, I know you're feeling bad, KB, but I brought you some corn. He's like, you're going to be okay, I promise. And like, I just remember most people in a situation like that would grab some alcohol, some beer, a tub of ice cream, cry on the couch. I was literally sobbing my eyes out, eating a whole crate of corn in the middle of an empty parking lot by myself. And I remember getting so sick on that corn that I somehow was like throwing up the whole next morning. It was just, it was so not fun. But I ended up, after eating all of that corn, putting out like a really pathetic SOS. At the time, we had started a co-op Facebook page. And I just remember telling everybody, hey, everybody, we're going to have to close down. We don't have a place to go. This has been my dream to, you know, serve you all. And I was so devastated. And I think people could just hear my sadness. And also, we had people who really cared about the co-op at that time. And anyway, so I put that up on Facebook. And funnily enough, I woke up the next morning and my voice mailbox from my phone was full. I had calls from establishments all over the city.
Wow.
You know, the Houston Arboretum, Museum of Natural Science, like good organizations and legit buildings and spaces that were like, we love what you're doing. We heard what happened. We want to have you come and set up on our lot. We want to help serve the communities. Come and, you know, come and set up your co-op here and we'll make it a part of what we do. So I ended up going from one location 1 day a week to having 3 locations 3 days a week. And the co-op quickly grew. And we ended up, I think, you know, the co-op went along very successfully for 11 years. And in that time period, we had 52,000 families that we served and that were very committed to us. And when I say 52,000 families, I don't just mean like one and done. I mean like actual members, you know, who picked up, you know, at least more than 3 times, or who were on their journey to, you know, learning about health, or who wanted to pick up a box of fresh produce every week. And that was my start into how I became fully raw Christina, so to speak. So if you take the word raw, fully organic, and the word raw, fully, and you flip it around, raw, fully becomes fully raw. And eventually people became more curious about me and my journey and reversing my diabetes and my recipes and what I was eating and why I was eating a giant salad at the end of the checkout line when I was checking people out at 9 p.m. at night. And, you know, people would ask me for recipes on their boxes. And I learned very quickly, like I didn't feel comfortable like sharing everything about my life on our co-op community page. So I started my Fully Raw Christina page. And I also started at the time, this is like, I think about how much effort this took, but between my classes, I would write out recipes and cut them out into squares so that I could put them into everybody's boxes so that people had a recipe to make with, you know, the produce that they took home in their boxes. And then eventually I got really exhausted of like cutting out paper squares and like printing them out on old school printers from the library computer. And then somebody was like, you should just start a YouTube channel and we can all just watch the recipes on YouTube. So one of my first YouTube videos was me bringing home a box of produce from the co-op and just being like, all right, everybody, all right, co-op community, we've got, you know, blueberries, kale, and bananas. We're making a smoothie. This is an easy recipe you can make in just a few minutes with your co-op box. And I just remember waking up with my sister the next morning and looking at the video and I was like, oh my gosh, it has like a couple thousand views. It's like, this is crazy. And then I started looking at the comments and people from Japan were commenting, I love your content. I love your channel. And I started my channel in 2012 and I went raw in 2005. So there was like a very big gap of time before I entered into the social media space. And I like to make sure that I let people know that because my beginning really did start with my Texas community and they really uplifted me. I would not be where I am without my Texas community having, you know, really believed in me and helped me to run our community in this way and lead in that way. So I continued to share recipes and, you know, so much unfolded after that. I wrote a book. I have a published book from Houghton Mifflin. I started an app and I did so many other ventures in between now and then. And then in 2016, within a short span of a week, the co-op was forced to close. And it was so devastating for me. It was not anticipated, not planned or anything like that. But it was forced to close. And I had like a very big change in my life, my biggest Saturn return. And I would say, even though that was probably one of the most impactful deaths and rebirths in my life, it did help me to grow to who I've become today. So I remember I moved to Bali for a short period of time. I started doing retreats because it was so important for me to be around people. I think it's interesting because when I tell people that I used to literally be around thousands of people every week, I literally used to check them out, hand them a box of produce, give them a hug, hear how they were doing, hear what they were making. I had lots of human face-to-face interaction. And then within a week, it was gone. Yeah. And it was such a stark contrast for me, just like only interacting with people through electronic devices. So my good friend Joe Cross encouraged me to get into retreats just that I could have that human interaction in a different way. And then somehow all of that led me to be here in Hawaii. And I'm like level 2 Christina or level 4, maybe phase 4. I don't know what they call it. Christina 4.0, 5.0 is in place. And I'm working at now establishing my own organic fruit orchard here in Hawaii. And who knows, in 4 or 5 years from now, maybe this will turn into like a community co-op or whatnot. But right now I'm just taking it day by day. But I think I just spoke for the longest period of time, Jen. Really sorry. There's a lot to that story. I will let you take over now. Wow. Okay.
That is the most incredible story, though, I have to say.
I just learned so much about you. I just have to say, like,
I'm sorry, I could go on. I basically, like, that was it in a nutshell, but that was, like, just, like, I otherwise I'd be here for a lot longer.
Yeah, so, no, please do not apologize because, again, having stayed with you in your home now in Kauai with Christina 5.0, like... I learned so much about you that in those 2 weeks that we were with you, I had no idea. And I'm imagining Christina 1.0 sitting in a grocery store staring at 90 pounds of peaches. And to go from that to hearing how you then are impacting 50,000 families in Houston with this incredible co-op and how your healing truly turned into your passion and your calling to impact so many lives in this world was absolutely incredible. So thank you for taking the time and taking us through all that and telling us more about your journey of healing into how now you're passing that on to everyone else, because everyone sees where you're at today. And I do think it's so important that you share, hey, I was in this for 6-7 years before I ever started, you know, doing anything online, before I ever started really sharing outwardly more about your own journey. And so that was really fun to hear. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because people might see where you are today and have no idea what you've gone through to get to this point. And they might just think, oh, they're an influencer. Oh, they had overnight success. And I'm like, it has been a long, slow, steady draw for me for like 17 years. Somebody made a comment to me not too long ago, and it was meant to be mean or offensive. And they were like, well, I bet you're just still raw because you've created your whole brand around it, or your whole lifestyle around it. You have to be raw because otherwise people would hate you.
Oh.
And I just looked at her and I said, you know, I was raw and vegan before Facebook was even around, and I will continue to love this lifestyle and be committed to it long after it's gone. Mm. And I think that says something, because, you know, for me, this isn't just about what I eat, and you both have stayed with me in my home. So hopefully you can see for me, this is very much about an embodiment of lifestyle and how mm-hmm. I live, and like a commitment to healing. I don't know. It's like when you're constantly striving to always be your best and to feel your best and to be your best self, it does require a level of dedication and commitment. I think every single journey or experience that has brought us thus far in our life can teach us how to have those routines, patterns, to be dedicated, to have the discipline. And so I think sometimes it's important to live as an example and just share these stories, because otherwise people just won't know, and they will never know what it took for you to get to where you are now. And they will never understand the loss either. Like losing my co-op was the most difficult thing for me probably in my life, other than like losing my dog, Koki, when I was like a couple years prior. But to spend 11 years building up your life and doing something and to have it completely stripped away, it's, you know, and then to have to completely pick yourself up from the floor and rebuild is people will just never know what you've gone through.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course. I mean, and never. And we can't ever really know behind a screen. You know, we make assumptions based on who someone is or where they came from, but we never really know. And so it is so powerful to hear your story. Now, I do want to go back a little bit. What did your doctor say when this was all happening?
This is so funny. Well, I've only had two interactions with my doctor since then. And I ended up switching doctors, obviously. Now, as you know, like you and I both, Dr. Jen, have an amazing community of friends who are doctors now that I can call. But back then it wasn't. I was like still going to a pediatrician when I was diagnosed with my diabetes, right? So it's like I look at how far I've come in that sense and how different life was for me. But I do remember there were two things simultaneously happening for me when I was that young and still in the process of reversing my hyperglycemia. And the first is that I stopped going to the doctor as much. So, I mean, doctors don't reach out and check on you, mm-hmm. right? If you don't have a problem and you don't show up, they're there to administer whatever is necessary, or to see you or to check on you or provide IVs or a bed or whatnot. But they don't call you if you don't show up and be like, hey, you haven't been here in 3 months. Are you okay? That doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And the second thing that was happening is that my mom had literally thought I had gone crazy, and it wasn't for her, as you know, my mom's Lebanese. And so for her, it wasn't just a rejection of food, but a rejection of culture.
Yeah.
And she didn't understand what I was doing. So she literally just thought I had lost my mind. And she didn't talk to me for 4 years at that point in time. She just cut me off cold because she was so offended by my change of lifestyle choice. So my doctors, what's really interesting is I remember, so I met Dr. Graham 6 months into my journey, and I ended up leaning heavily on him and throughout the process, and also my mentor, the one who had, you know, taught me about raw food. And I didn't go back to I probably went back to my doctor once to just like get things checked, and she didn't really say much. I told her what I was doing, and she was, I don't even remember what she said. It might've been like a be careful or something, but I do remember having gone back 3 years later And I'll never forget this. And I walked through the door and she looked at me. She, because keep in mind, I was probably 30, 40 pounds heavier. My hair had grown out. I had really short, thin hair at the time when she last saw me. And she just looked at me. She's like, Christina Bukram? And I looked at her. I was like, hi. She goes, why are you here? You look amazing. What are you doing? I was like, I was actually here if I could. I went to go in to ask and see if I could get my medical records because I wanted to have them so I could like show them and like, you know, talk about them. And she was like, she looked for them and she was like, actually, it's a law in Texas that after 3 years, they're allowed to throw away all your medical records. So she'd actually thrown all of mine away at the time.
Wow.
But I just remember we sat there for a bit and she was just looking at me like I wasn't real, basically. But she was very sweet and very helpful. But the truth is that I had gone from needing a pediatrician to needing like a more adult doctor at that time. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really need to show up for her anymore. And at that point in time, I was already getting much more guidance and doing so much better. So that was kind of how that rolled out.
Were you testing stuff? Like, were you pricking your finger, testing your blood sugar? Instructed to do any of that?
Yes. And I was on insulin at the very end of my tail journey. So like when I was admitted into the hospital, they were trying to wean me onto insulin, but it was just making things so much worse for me. Like I was vomiting immediately after, like 20 minutes later, like I was having terrible reactions to the insulin. So that didn't stick quick. I'll just say that. But I was pricking my finger. I had to monitor my blood sugar all the time. But as soon as I started feeling better and I got the hang of what I was doing, and because I was, keep in mind, I was eating the same thing every day all the time. It's easy to create like a pattern or routine for yourself. You know what's going to happen, right? So, and then after a while, it began to stabilize and I didn't have to all the time. So that's why I say it took a year and a half for me to completely reverse everything, to the point of where it's like I wasn't checking, I wasn't doing anything other than just like, I think at that point in time, I was really into food planning for myself. I was really into charts and math, no surprise, making sure I was getting in enough calories. Like I had this very intense food diary where I would write out everything where I was eating in that meal, how many nutrients I was getting, all my macros, how many times a day I was pooping. Like I was just so interested in studying my body and figuring out why this was working. And so, but that was all a part of my learning journey and my curiosity at the time. And I just became obsessed with healing because I never knew in my life that such a thing was possible. My parents didn't know. They didn't teach me. I learned so many different things growing up that I had to unlearn during that time in my life.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of emotions. Don't get me wrong. Like sometimes when you're growing up and you feel like you've been lied to your whole life, you're like, how come I didn't know about this? Mm. And you know, the process of unlearning can be challenging. But I feel so grateful for this journey because it's, you know, when I was running my co-op, people would always ask me what my mission was. And I would just repeatedly tell people my mission is to feed people. And by feed people, I don't just mean hand them a box of produce every week, but to feed people information about wellness that could possibly change or help their life, to feed people recipes, to feed people good connection. You know, there's so many different ways to feed people, so many different ways to consume information and goodness out there. So that became a part of my mission for a really long time. I still feel like I'm doing that today. And obviously we always evolve and grow. But yes.
Definitely doing that.
I would second that. And I think that being out there, Jen and I felt very fed in multiple ways.
Oh my God,
both the food and just the energy that we got from you. Being able to stay with you was incredible. And I think that, I mean, I always talk about food as one of the universal languages, because yes, you can hand somebody a plate, but that plate can help them feel something emotionally. That plate helps fuel them energetically. It does so much for our body, and it's such a cool way of passing energy to people. And I am forever grateful for the time that we've already gotten to spend in the kitchen together. That's one of my favorite things to do, just the dance in the kitchen with people that you can cook with and jive with and then share a meal together, and can't wait for more of those times. I was a little bit like intrigued by this journal, this intense journal that you said you were keeping, and you mentioned nutrients and you were tracking all the nutrients and the macros you get. And I think there's this misconception sometimes that if you're only eating plants or if you're only eating fruits and vegetables, you're not going to get all the nutrients you need. You're not going to get all the protein you need. Like, so how can you, just eating, you know, raw plants, be able to get all your nutrients?
Yeah, I love that question. It's so interesting to me that people think that by eating plant-based, nutrient-rich fruits and vegetables, that you're somehow not going to get everything that you need, because it has been proven that you can get everything you need from plant-based foods. But what's more important is the quantities and the ratios of how you consume them, right? And also what you're eating. If you're eating fresh food, if you're eating a lot of processed foods, and it does matter. I remember my mom was very concerned about this when I first began my journey, you know, to the point of where she would throw a pizza in front of me and be like, I'm worried you're not going to get protein. Eat this pizza. And I'd be like, how is this pizza more healthy than my beautiful, humongous rainbow salad that I just made for myself? And I would sit down with her in front of Chronometer. And that's what I did at the beginning of my journey. And it was mainly because I was so skinny. When I first began my journey, I was afraid I was going to lose more weight and then people would make more comments about my journey and, you know, oh, she just doesn't look good. She's even more crazy now, something like that. So I was determined to make sure that I was doing this the right way so that I looked good and I could set a good example. So I would, you know, food journal everything I was eating. At the end of the day, I would put it into Chronometer, one of those calorie counting, you know, devices. And I would sit down with my mom and I'd be like, look, I'm getting 60 grams of protein in my day. I'm getting 2000% of my vitamin C and my vitamin E and my this and this. It was like, everything was just through the charts. I was absolutely getting everything I need. And all I needed to supplement was B12, really. And that's because I wasn't getting that much sun at the time. I'm sorry, and vitamin D3, because I wasn't getting that much sun at the time. But other than that, it was like I was getting everything I needed and I was seeing it in the charts. Now, I think this is where the unlearning comes in, is to show people that you're not going to die if you take meat out of your diet for a bit of time, or that if you only eat vegetables, that you can still live a really nutrient rich life. And I would like to think I'm a testament to that. I'm still sitting here 17 years later and I'm doing the same thing. And I feel better than I ever have still. Like, I still feel like my health is always on the uphill. I feel better at 35 than I did at 17 years old. And I don't know that many people can say that. So I don't know. Does that kind of answer your question?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what are some of like the, I know that you have incredible groups that you kind of help guide people through this journey as well, whether it is fully raw or not, or just trying to add more in. What is some of the pushback that you commonly hear from people trying to add this in?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So I have a inner circle support group and I host live Zoom calls twice a week where I allow my members to come in and ask me questions. And I literally just spend an hour or two with them twice a week, kind of talking them through it, because for me, I realized I needed a lot of guidance in the beginning and I had so many questions because it's such a different way of living, that I needed that guidance and support. So I'm happy to offer it to those who need it as well, for people who really want to change their lives and their journey. And I think, you know, what's interesting about this is that you would think that even though I get people who have a lot of chronic illness or disease or physical problems that they're trying to work through, for the most part, the biggest topic of conversation that ends up happening in, you know, my group that I host is how all of this can be impacted by emotional eating, self-sabotage, like how we don't really include the emotional component with food that often. Right. And so it's funny because people, you know, think that they're going to come into this group and talk about food and the physical aspect all the time. And even though we do, once you master that and once you get your eating routine down and you get used to eating the raw, then the next level of healing really is to heal the emotional component behind that. And like, what affects those eating patterns? What makes you want to grab that bag of chips when you're having a bad day? What makes you want to self-sabotage? And kind of like when you break through those barriers, you know, I think learning this lifestyle is the easy thing, right? Because you can implement it and plan it all you want, but it's learning to understand yourself and your behavioral patterns and the healing that you need is kind of the next intense level behind it. And so it's funny because for me, it goes far beyond food, right? Mm-hmm. And you can, these behavioral patterns don't just show up in how you eat. They show up across the board in your life in so many different ways. And it's become so interesting to be able to talk to people about how food plays a role in their life and how it affects other areas of their life as well. So yeah, I would say once people get past that initial learning how to make the recipes and like incorporate it into their day, the emotional component becomes like the next big hurdle for people, right? Because you've heard that term, oh, I fell off the wagon. And some people have a really hard time putting themselves first or setting those boundaries or staying committed to things. And it's another reason why I like to say this lifestyle isn't a diet. It's a lifestyle because it's way more than a two week, you know, journey. It's, you're really relearning a whole new way of being, so to speak, and thinking as well.
Oh yeah.
Mm, yeah. And I love how you're making sure to incorporate all those components that come in when you're trying to make a huge lifestyle change and behavior change and really putting yourself first has so much more to do with than just the food. And I think that one thing that people will bring up often too, at least that I've heard in my limited experience with going, you know, plant-based or plant-heavy or, you know, going into a vegan or a raw vegan diet is like, hey, my stomach just can't handle it. Or I'm having all of these issues with, you know, my poops and like I'm having really runny poops every day and this and that. And can you speak a little bit to that if people are experiencing that when they're starting to make this transition?
I love talking about poop. I talk about poop every day. Just so you know, pooping is a great thing. I think people worry in the beginning of their journeys because they go poop more than they've ever gone before because they're eating such fiber-rich foods. Mm. It's so funny because I used to also be chronically constipated. I thought going poop once a week was normal. And then the second I went raw, I was going poop 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day. And I was so worried about it. I was like, what if I'm like pooping out my colon? What if I'm like pooping out my guts? What if I'm just, you know? But you don't realize how much gunk in your trunk you're actually carrying around. And in the beginning of your journey, yes, you do need to let your body do its thing. Eventually it does calm down and then your body gets in a rhythm if you're able to like create a routine for yourself. But pooping is amazing. It's so healthy. I always like to say better out than in, right?
Yeah.
So those fiber-rich foods are doing their job, which is great. We want them to do that. In terms of, you know, getting bloating or gassy or can't eat that much food, I recommend to people to start small, right? Like if you're really having a hard time with the greens, like start with fruit for a few days. Fruit's really easy for people to digest. If you, you know, divvy it up into 6 small meals a day, it's a nice way to get your stomach muscle moving. And I like to remind people that your stomach is a muscle just like every other muscle in your body. And when you give it a little workout, it knows how to give and take a bit more. People are always asking me if I eat those giant salads on my Instagram and I can easily down one because my stomach is, it's like, it knows it now, right? But could I do that in the beginning? No. You know, I had to start small and figure out things step by step. I do like to point out to people that there's a difference between being bloated versus being full. Because I think with raw food, the biggest discrepancy is the food is really high in water content and fiber, but it's low in calorie, which means you have to eat more of it to get the necessary amount of calories that you need or to feel full. To whereas if you were to eat, I'm just going to throw this out there, like a McDonald's burger, it's the size of your hand and it's easily couple thousand calories and there's no water content in it, no fiber pretty much. And it's just a really small amount of food. Like it's easily, you know, easily fits in your stomach. Your stomach doesn't have to stretch for that, so to speak. So I think when people first begin this journey and they're eating all this fiber, yeah, it's difficult for them because they might not be used to eating fiber-rich foods. but we also don't know anything about their poop life. Are they constipated? Are they dealing with Crohn's? Are they, you know? So I like to tell people to give it a chance to divvy it up into smaller meals. You know, if you're really having a hard time, juice your greens instead of eating them. And that helps a lot. That way you're still getting all the nutrients from those greens, but you're not getting as much fiber and it won't give you as much gas in the beginning. Gas really just means you have to poop. So I like to move around, get things moving, or, you know, eat some more fruit. But for the most part, there is a difference between bloating. Bloating is when your stomach extends out for a period of time and you become constipated and you really have no movement down there. But to be full after eating a big raw meal, some people might say, oh, I feel bloated. But the truth is you're going to go pee or poo in the next hour. And like a couple of hours later might be hungry. Like things move so fast through your system. So I just like to like let people know the difference as well, because I think you have to learn how to listen to your body when learning something new, right? And you've got to learn how to know what's what, so to speak, because it's easy for you to try something new and be like, oh, I give up, this isn't working for me. Well, you know, it takes time to get to learn something new because it's so different than what most people have done before.
I think that's so huge to point out and to like continue to remember. You know, of course, if something's new, if something's different, it's going to take time. So yeah. That's okay. You know?
Well, you know, going back to something I think is a bigger picture thing here is that it took me a year and a half to reverse my diabetes, yeah, hyperglycemia. That was a year and a half of just lifestyle changes. Talk about an incredible amount of patience. I look back at it now and half the people who come to me and want coaching or whatnot, they want to do a juice cleanse and they want all their problems to be gone in a week. They want that magic, yeah, quick fix pill. Most people don't want to have to wait a year and a half to feel good the rest of their life. They're like, just give me the medicine. Just give me the quick fix. Just give me the pill. Just give me the drug. For them, it's that short-term relief is more important than anything. But like, I look at it now and I'm like, I spent a year and a half working on myself. So the rest of my life is going to be wonderful. Like, right, I haven't had a health issue since. Hopefully I will have a wonderful, healthy life moving forward. But I do know this, I don't have any more pain physically. And so for me, that's everything, right? Mm-hmm. Was that year and a half worth it for me? Absolutely. I never want to have to go through that amount of pain again. And I know that short-term satisfaction means a lot to some people, but I think, you know, if we can get people to really commit and see the bigger picture, because some of these changes are deeply rooted and those are the ones that really need to take place, right? To get people to change those deeply rooted things that are causing the problem instead of band-aiding over, right? We need solution-based orientation, so to speak.
That's everything. It's so incredibly important. Everything is a journey and it's about this life that we want long-term. Not short term, right? Yeah. What do we want to feel in 5 years and 10 years? How do we want to take care of anyone we're around? What example do we want to put out? And I think that you're setting that example. You're being that every day. And I hope that people get an opportunity to really continue to learn from you. You have incredible recipes that I go back to on a like weekly basis. You've changed like dressings for me completely.
Oh yeah, I make dressings based on all the things I learned from you weekly. So that's thank you.
Yeah, you just have such incredible education, resources, ways of people to be able to access this and start their journey. And you're helping. You have your communities. Can you talk a little bit more about where people can find like that information and get more out of you?
Yes, thank you. My goodness, where can people find me? Well, if they want more recipes, I would recommend YouTube. Mm-hmm. My YouTube channel is Fully Raw Christina, or my app. I have more than 450 recipes on my app, and it's available on iTunes and Google Play. They can just search Fully Raw app. Also, my website, fullyraw.com, is kind of like a base hub for anything else needed. My Instagram is Fully Raw Christina. You can find me anywhere at Fully Raw Christina. That's basically it.
That's perfect. And you have a book.
And I have a book. I have a book. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the places. I have a book.
So again, the incredible amount of resources that you have available to really help and guide and educate and provide for people to start to feel something different is really incredible in all areas of what you continue to do, Christina. So just thank you for being you. Thank you for being our friends.
Thank you. Thank you for being my friend.
And we love you so, so much and can't wait till the next time we get to squeeze you.
Perfect. I love you. Thank you so much for having me.
Just love Christina and her story, and so grateful that we got to have her on the podcast, and so grateful for all of you for listening right to the end and listening consistently to all of our episodes on the Optimal Body Podcast. Thank you so much for your support. And if you're ever looking for other ways to support us, there's plenty. You can share this episode out with anybody else who you think might need to hear it. You can go subscribe and leave a rating and review on your favorite podcasting platform, or you could do something like purchase the toe spreader. Get your feet some space from Noboso. If you go down to the link in the bio, we will have one down there, and you can use code OPTIMAL to get yourself 20% off that to start to improve your feet and also support us so we can continue to get information out in great interviews, great PT pearls. And of course, we will see you on the next episode of the Optimal Body Podcast.